it's been so long since we did one of these, I forgot how to start it.
Started like Dave would start it.
Hey-oh!
Hey, pancakes!
Hey-oh, Webcomics Weekly! Right, guys? Sheldon. Sheldon.
That's Comics. Not a, that's not what he would do. All right, Webcomics Weekly. Back again.
Minus a Dave.
Minus Dave Kellett of SheldonComics.com.
But you should still visit his website.
You should still go, even though he's a betrayer of men.
But who is here?
We've got Scott Kurtz of PvPOnline.com.
Yeah.
That's a
yeah, we do. We've got Brad Geiger of Evil-Comic.com.
Now in color.
Now in color, yes.
Now in glorious color.
And we've got me, Chris Straub of Starslip.com.
Now an owner of about a bajillion jinxlets.
Yes.
Are they everywhere in your house?
They are. We're actually in the process of moving to a larger house. And we have to get all this stuff out of the front room because they're trying to show the house Monday. And the front room is just a shipping nightmare of boxes.
A shipping nightmare.
So it's almost very much like the Tribbles episode.
Yeah, except that they're like, still in their boxes, so it's not as fun.
You know what that's what you should do to sell the house, is when they're like, I don't know, I'm not sure if we want this. Then you look at Eric and go, now. And she pulls a button and all the jinx falls in your head and you just give him a Captain Kirk, and then what?
Yeah, we do have an attic that has one of those pull-down stairs that would open that way. So I'm like,
all the jinx
and the other feature that this house has is it's got a grain container up here. And they're like, oh, we're not interested in that. No, just pull it. Just open it. Just open it. No, we're not interested in that. Just open it. Come on. All right, I'm going to stand over. You open it, okay? No, wait, that's okay. Can we see the bathroom?
Open it!
Pull the string!
So, Chris, what you're saying is that cartooning has been so successful for you, you've had to buy a bigger house.
Oh, yeah.
I would say that I've bought enough product that I have to have a bigger house.
Okay.
I've spent enough money that I don't have room for it anymore. Now, maybe the success. All right. Well, let's forge ahead. What's our first question?
Well,
which one should we do?
First of all, do you guys realize this is the first show we've done since the books come out?
Oh, oh yeah.
How does everybody feel about it?
Blown away.
I was doing the Comic Dish podcast earlier, and the word that kept coming out of my mouth, even though I tried to stop saying it, was overwhelmed. I mean, I'm just overwhelmed. I mean, we were excited about it. We knew it was going to be a good book in our hearts, but hearing people pick it up and it do you realize people are taking pictures of themselves and pictures of their newborn babies and posting it online out of the sheer thrill of having this in their house?
What are you talking about?
You got to visit the Half Pixel forums every now and again. People are taking
yikes.
Come on, Scott.
People are taking pictures of their newborn babies next to the book and posting it on the Half Pixel site out of sheer excitement of having this book in their home. That, to me, that's overwhelming. I go to bed at night and I just kind of stare at the ceiling for a little while, and it just kind of it just kind of washes over you. This is a really we've done good.
Yeah, I was really excited. I this is going to sound really awful, but one of the first things I did was pull out what was going to become the bathroom copy, and it was time to like clean out the bathroom magazine rack. It's like, no, I don't need any of this crap detracting from the book that people are really going to want to read when they're pooping in here. And that's how to make web comics, you know. Like, I needed to make it the star of the toilet magazine rack.
So, it's got its own rack.
93. What do we have this in here for anyway?
So I decided to give it a test, and I'm on the throne, and I'm reading, flipping through it, and the first thing I thought of when I opened it was, wow, I can't believe we wrote this much. This is a lot. Like, it's heavy. It's hefty.
It's a little daunting.
And then I'm like, totally going through going, oh, these are the chapters that are just fun to read, and then these are the chapters that you look at and go, ooh, when I make my, you know, this, I'm going to come back, you know, I'm going to put a post-it here. And then I got to the end of the book, and I thought to myself, you know, I could have worked a little bit harder on this. I did not say very much in that book.
That's funny because in reading it, I was looking at my chapters and everybody else's chapters, and I thought, oh, I don't think I said anything in this book.
Oh my God, you'd think that too?
Yeah.
One thought just occurred to me, and that is, holy shnikes, Scott, that was a long poop.
Well, I didn't. Well, look, that's going to lead us to our second question, which is my problem. My big problem with hemorrhoids.
That's a big comic fan right there.
Half of the time, I was actually soaking in the tub. Don't worry about it.
That's what we want. That's what we're trying to teach web cartoonists, is that to be a real web cartoonist, you've got to have a copy of this book and a big box of tucks next to the old desk.
And don't confuse one for the other, please.
Break out the old witch hazel.
I've gotten, I don't know, it's a little frustrating because, you know, I've put out books before and of my actual work, and they have not got the reception that a book about the concept of my work has gotten.
I think it's a different audience, because the people who pick up PvP or any of our books for that matter are not necessarily going to say, thank you so much, I absolutely needed this to go on, you know?
Yeah.
But I think that this book fills that.
I've gotten that. Have you guys gotten that?
Yeah. Well, we got one. I mean, do you remember, there was one that was just, it was so good I had to print it out and paste it on my wall over here in my studio. It was from a guy named Jeremiah.
Oh, I read that.
I know it's probably unethical for me to cut and paste, blah, blah, blah. Thank you all so much for this fantastic book. I've never looked forward to something so much in my life. Well, aside from using this book and actually making something off my art, the payoff was very much worth the wait for this book. Within a matter of minutes, I was learning things to make starting so much easier than what I previously thought. And he goes on for a long, long time, and he says, I've quietly sat aside and listened to the Webcomics Weekly podcast and quietly read all the comics produced by all the four of you. But now I feel it is the time to speak up for those of us just sitting there, not saying anything, who are truly thankful that you all extend that helping hand to other artists, and I hope that you have probably motivated and helped hundreds. And you know, I read, and I just kind of paraphrased that there. I skipped a bunch in the middle, but you know, that's exactly who we wrote that book for. I kept thinking that time and time again. We wrote that book for the guy who felt like he was sitting on the sidelines and couldn't get in, because we all from our own efforts. That you can get in. You can do this. This is all very doable.
It was really funny because I was doing artist editions and signed editions, because now I've got all these books I've got to sign and draw in. And I was amazed how many of the order requests were saying, please sign this to my son or my daughter who is starting his first webcomic. Like, kid.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that excites the hell out of me. That makes me feel really good about
it. That's pretty awesome. Man. That also tells you something about your readership, too, because I didn't get any that were like that.
It also tells you something about webcomics in general, that webcomics have become so popular that the generation of people who have kids old enough to do webcomics are aware of webcomics.
Yeah, what happened to playing catch?
Wouldn't it be funny if our book, when you open it up, it's just blank page in the middle. It says, go outside and play. What are you doing to yourself?
Yeah, it's like how to be an internet celebrity. No, just stop. Now put the book down. This is a $20 lesson.
The Obama girl isn't going to be around for that much longer. You should take that.
That's next year. That's you, Brad. You are going to sweep YouTube awards.
So now that we sound like a complete and utter infomercial.
Why? For talking about how to make webcomics, $13 at each of our stores?
That's right.
Available right now.
I believe that's available in just about every comic shop across the country right now.
Although I think so.
I, I have to tell you, I just got back. I didn't make an announcement on my website because I hate to say, hey, my house is going to be empty for the next 5 days. But a few days ago, we went to visit my family in Michigan, and I kind of made it a point. We stopped in Ohio to see my in-laws, and I made it a point to stop in at as many comic shops as I could. And I've heard, well, I'll say across the Midwest, I went to two states, but everything I'm hearing is that they're having a hard time keeping this book on shelves.
Yeah, I heard that too, actually. I heard that from a couple stores that emailed me about it, that they're down to one copy or they're out of copies. So
we're having a hard time keeping it on the shelves. It's just leaping into the bargain bin. We don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, I was going to go a different way. I was going to go, it turns out we didn't bind them correctly and they're falling off shelves.
They're falling out of the shelves. This book is really absorbent. I just got to say thank you.
I don't know if you guys heard this, but Barack Obama mentioned our book in his latest speech.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, no. It's true.
Wow.
Yeah.
He said it's a change we're looking for.
Yeah, he says the book is full of hope.
I keep saying this thing about change, and people are saying, you know what? What are you talking about, Barack? This is what I'm talking about. And my minister doesn't feel this way, but I do. He keeps bringing that up too. And I think the minister doesn't like the book, but I think Barack does.
Yeah.
Well, the minister is just
crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know.
He don't know.
Ta-da! Okay. First question.
Oh, didn't we? Hey, this is why we don't do political humor.
because we're getting off topic.
Yeah, we are.
We're getting too far off topic. We got to focus this thing.
Come on.
Well, Chris, you said you had a question on the mailbag there.
I've got a number of them. I've got a good long one that I don't know if we want to dive into that one first. But
wait,
let me see
one?
If I can.
Not, let's do
not the sadness question.
Do the sadness question second.
Yeah. All right. Well,
do
well
Brad's
here's one.
Question first.
Oh, Brad's.
Yeah, the one about. Aren't we doing one about the back the archive before you start?
Oh right.
Or no?
Now I've lost it.
What happened to Brad? Is Brad still here?
I'm here. I'm listening.
Well, you have the question, don't you?
No, I don't. That was what Chris was talking about. Both of the questions.
Oh,
I did bring them both up.
Brad,
you know
do
what?
You have a question you want us to read?
I don't.
Okay, good, 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 good. I didn't want to overlook you.
No, I appreciate that.
Now that we've all finished discussing who will get to ask the question.
See, this is how we do it. This is how we made the book.
We fly by the seat of the pants. We go through and there's a lot of rough and tumble with this.
So, Chris, the question about the archive thing, because this seems to really like this seems to really snag people.
Yeah, I'm desperately looking for who sent it in my inbox. But
it's almost our most controversial statement ever on this show. It really affects people.
But I don't know why it should. And let's just paraphrase it. I can't find the email, okay. but the idea is. We've talked about it before, but how do you go about taking your comic and putting it on the internet in as far as how many strips ahead do you have to work before you make your website? Do you make your website first and just start posting comics, or should you build up a backlog first before launching your website? Which one, how many to do, that kind of thing. And I think each of us has pretty much vehemently said, no, have a backlog
build up
before
a
you do
little
anything
bit, yeah.
else.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
But remind me why that's important.
Well, the reasons why I feel it's important are a couple reasons. Number one, if you launch your website and you're very excited to be a cartoonist, as everybody is, and you go, hey, new comic strip, it's the best, you're going to love it, come back 3 times a week, it's awesome. And then the visitor shows up and there's one strip and that's it because that's all you did. There's nothing. There's no sticking point for them. They're not going to come back next Wednesday and check it again. You've got to have something there for them to build on.
You need to at least give them a little bit of a taste.
Yeah, okay. One strip is not enough of a taste, especially if your first strip is like in the year 2530. One hero will rise, dot, 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 and there's like an eclipse, and that's it. That's not enough. Nobody's going to come back.
Yeah.
And then the second reason is if you draw ahead of time and you've got a bank of 20 or 30 strips minimum before you launch a website or start talking about it, you will start to feel out your own strip. You will get a better feel for writing it, how often you'll be able to update it, a sense of your characters. You'll just start to begin to dig into that. And that's important before you get started to kind of settle on that a little bit just before you launch it for everybody.
I think a lot of people have problems with that suggestion because they're excited to get started.
Yeah.
But you've got to really avoid the temptation to put the cart before the horse.
It takes discipline. And I mean, I would suggest if you're that excited, then go ahead and build your website and start posting them, on your update schedule Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or whatever. But don't go around saying, "Hey, new strip, everybody come look, come look, come look." Don't do that until you actually have 20 or 30 up.
Yeah.
And it's
Yeah,
tough
but
because, oh, go ahead, Brad.
the thing about it is that you hope in starting this website, you hope that you will be updating regularly for the next several years. And that's something to kind of tell yourself when you're starting out. I'm going to be doing this for a couple of years. There is absolutely no impetus upon you to rush at this stage of launching this website. I look back on in my own case, I did it completely wrong. What I did was to launch Greystone Inn, which was my first comic. I started posting my syndicate submission, which what it, it's got. Do you remember? Was it 6 weeks that they wanted?
I know it's 25 strips.
Yeah, it was exactly with a couple of Sundays thrown in there. So I had a good 25 or 26 strips all done, ready to go. And of course, what spurred me into doing this was getting all the rejections from the syndicates. And I figure I'm gonna show these guys. I'm gonna be the first guy to publish comics on the web. This was the year 2000, and I started publishing this stuff. And then, of course, I started finding out that I was way behind the curve. But it wasn't until that last comic that I had for this submission had run that I decided that I liked this enough to keep doing it. So I had a huge backlog of strips. I had started with a tremendous buffer, let it dwindle away, and then started the night before Monday working on the strip for the next day, and then worked consistently from then on.
Yeah,
So I
that's
did it
fun.
completely wrong. I had a huge amount of archives.
That's actually funny because I had the almost identical experience with I'm gonna do my comic strip when I did Checkerboard Nightmare, and you were the one. Greystone Inn was the strip that made me go, "I'm gonna do it a comic strip about a comic strip character." And then I saw yours 2 weeks into mine, and I went, "Ah, somebody's doing it." But yeah, I mean, I think that's how I started. I know when I started Starslip because I was a little more disciplined at the time. I really went, I'm gonna do 30 of them, and I did the first 30 to feel the characters out and see what kind of jokes I wanted to do, and also to see if I could maintain the Monday through Friday schedule that I wanted to do because before I just did 3 times a week and I didn't know if I could handle it. If there was enough for me to write about that I would be able to do 5 a week. And if you go back and read them, there the tone is very different. I didn't quite know what I wanted to do with it yet, but that's part of feeling the whole thing out. So that's why you got to have a backlog before you get started.
I think it's really important what you said about how it helps. It's going to help them feel their strip out too, because if you go back, pretty much if you talk to any cartoonist, they get pretty quickly disgusted with their first year of strips.
Yeah.
I wish I could take them out of my archive and just
I was just
forget
thinking
about
that.
them.
Chris was talking about discovering the first year of Greystone Inn, and I'm like, oh my God, that stuff was horrible.
Yeah. That just, I think, I mean, I get, I still now to this day, even with the podcast and the book and everything, I get emails telling me they listen to everything and they're excited about the book and they want to know when is it time to make t-shirts, and they haven't even put their website up yet. You know, it's, I think, and I just think people get super excited about getting started, and they don't think about
they're thinking about the mechanism but not the core of it.
Yeah.
That the strip has to come first, and then the merchandise is third, and the community is second, but primarily you're working on making a good webcomic.
Yeah.
Consistently.
So yeah, do as much as you can stand to do before you launch it. And remember, if you, you know, your first impression, you only get one shot at it. So you want to make it your best first impression.
I have a question for the listeners that I would be interested in receiving feedback on it from them to hello, the doctor. Beginning over. Here's the question. When we talk about having 30 strips built up, do people feel like that's a lot? Do people feel like that is an inordinate number? Like surely 10 is enough. Like 30 is a lot to do in a sitting.
I mean,
or, you know.
No, I think that you could have.
I mean, I would love to have 100 built up to really get it.
You
refined.
Know what? I mean, I don't know. I think there's this really, it's almost a balance. Because here's the thing, you know, you want to give people that first taste of your strip. They want it to. You want it to be a memorable taste, so they'll come back for more. But a big archive can get too daunting. I'll go through 10 to 20 strips to get a taste of it, but I don't know that I'll sit through all 100.
Oh yeah, that's true.
You know, so maybe 10 to 20 is a perfect amount. Maybe 30 is too much.
Oh, and that then the other thing is that if a 30 is about right, you know, start telling people about your strip when you've got 15 or 20 to read.
Yeah.
Posted. Yeah, because I think that's something that can't be emphasized enough. It's really nice to start advertising your webcomic when you've got a healthy archive for people to dive through. It's not so bad to bring them in on strip number 31 and 32.
And let catch up.
Yeah, because then they can hit that. That's the strength of a webcomic, is the ability to read through the archives if you're intrigued by something. So, you know, I can't tell you, you know, I've started running Project Wonderful ads, and I can't tell you how many times that I click on one of the ads that appear on my site, and I see somebody that's two strips deep into his webcomic.
Right.
And I feel like that this guy's really wasting his money. I mean, I'm glad he's wasting it through my site, but he's wasting his money because I can't get emotionally involved in a strip I've read two archive updates on.
Yeah, I've seen strips where, you know, there's only three strips up and the art is really good, and maybe the third strip has a really good joke, or it's intriguing in whatever way. Maybe
right.
It's a drama strip, but if there's only three, it's not enough, and I usually don't remember to go back. You want to have the visitor's first experience there be one of, oh, I got to check this again. Not, oh, I need to remember to check this and see if I like it later.
Right. Because nobody does that.
Yeah. There's so much on the internet. They're going to just go on to whatever else there that's out there.
Yeah.
And you lost your shot.
All right. Well, there you go. Look,
pretty good.
Look, the bottom line is you're going to have to take a breath, take a sip of water. Eat a little nibble of bread, and just take your time. Pace yourself.
Yeah, because really, you are in this for the long haul. I mean, if you're serious about doing this, even if you're half serious about doing this, it's going to be a pretty good chunk of your life for the next couple of years. And
yeah.
And you should actually, that thought should be something that brings you a certain degree of warmth. You know, that shouldn't be a chore, at least not if your head's in the right place. That should be something that brings you a lot of happiness. So sit back and enjoy yourself. You know, there is a certain grace to starting well.
Yeah, it's going to get to be a chore around year four or five, and you'll deal with that when it shows up.
But that's another podcast.
Good question. Good answers. All right, shall we
Good
go
podcast, good
forward?
people, good books.
Good friends, good food, good times.
Olive
Decided
Garden.
time and a special.
Good time, great taste.
Olive Garden.
when you hear your family.
Oh,
By the way, as far as whether or not 30 is too much, I am really interested in hearing from listeners. So please email your response to ww@halfpixel.com. That's our email address. And you can also send your questions to Webcomics Weekly to that address.
yeah, you know what? I'm interested in following that too. If you don't think that's enough, do you think it should be more and by how much, or do you think it should be less and by how much and why?
Right.
There might be a really good reason somebody's got out there for flying by the seat of his pants, and I'd like to hear it.
We might read your email on the show.
All emails
We
become property of Webcomics
might
Weekly.
send you a free book.
Whoa,
We might jump up and fly
whoa,
around.
whoa, whoa.
We might jump up and fly around the room too, but you know,
So, that's right. Brad might send you a free book. All right, now let's go on. all right, so shall I read the big deep question?
Yes.
This one might keep us busy for a while. This one comes to us from Melanie. Its subject line is "The Care and Keeping of Your Cartoonist," and I will read it. Seems like lately I've heard a lot more mentionings of cartoonists and their problems with anxiety and depression. You've all passed around the term talking off the ledge, talked about feelings of failure, and even said that most of you deal with depression, anxiety in one form or another. Even Penny Arcade has breached the issue recently. I've had my blue funks from time to time, but this past year, all I can hear in the back of my mind is the approaching sirens of the failure police. To make a long story short, this feeling of creative artistic failure has kept me staring at a grad school application for months now and put all webcomic work I was doing on an indefinite hiatus. I'm stuck in a rut. What do you do when you hear the failure police coming? How do you get yourself out of these funks? Basically, how does the creative person take care of the anxiety and depression that we all feel from time to time when it comes to our work? I think that is a fascinating question.
Yeah,
that's a good question on so many levels. I mean, and one of the levels, I'm gonna knock off the easy one quick, if that's okay. It's good. It's good to have friends. It's good to cultivate relationships and find some people whose work you admire and whose work ethic you admire, and make relationships with these people, because then when you are feeling that way, you can drop them a little iChat or drop them a little email and say, "Oh my God, listen to what's going through my head right now." And you gotta kind of do a little trust there too, because a lot of the stuff that I'll share with these three guys on Webcomics Weekly, I wouldn't share with anybody in my right mind.
Hemorrhoids.
You know, I kind of let my guard down with these guys because I trust them. And I know they're not laughing about me behind my back.
Yeah. If Scott, if I was in the same room with Scott, we would be looking at each other like, do we tell him? Do we tell him? Do we tell him?
No, but I mean, it helps to have somebody that you can. I do this all the time. I let my guard down and I say the stuff that's right there, unvarnished and not nice, very catty, very nasty, and I just say it, and it feels so good to just say it.
How often, Brad, and I can ask this of Scott and myself too, do you say it like, "All right, this is the dumbest thing. I shouldn't be worried about this, but somebody tell me that it's okay. Here it is." And then the other guys go, "Oh yeah, I worry about that too. I have the same problem."
Yeah, it just feels so good to know that somebody else is worrying about this stuff, or somebody else, you know, takes a look at this issue and sees it very similar to how you see it. And then I talked a while ago about being upset over somebody's traffic, and so I'm not telling tales out of school. And I remember writing Scott, and I IM'd him, and I said, "Oh my God, what's this guy doing with this kind of traffic? I don't get it." And Scott gave me real Scott not only kind of validated what I was feeling, but then he said, "You know, somebody once told me a long time ago, never get wrapped up in the numbers, because there's always somebody that's got better numbers than you. Just do your best comic, and and take appreciation from that. And then I was really able to live the rest of my day. But before that, I was in a real spiral, you know?
Yeah.
The biggest problem is that we've chosen a profession or a main hobby slash obsession that is very unique and niche. So the stuff that it bothers people and occupies people's brains and the stuff that most people feel anxious about, the rest of the world is also feeling it too. So there's a ton of outlets. There's outlets with your wife. There's outlets with your friends. Even if you are an accountant and he works tech support, pretty much all of your anxieties are the same. But, you know, for cartoonists or creative type people that pick a very specialized niche to just spend most of their time thinking and fretting over, you can't go to anyone else with it. It's such a unique situation to be in.
And I would say that one of the hard things about it, I mean, as much as we all bluster and as much as we put a face on for panels and joke around and stuff, we're all introverted, and that childhood is what made us draw in the first place, because we weren't out playing sports and we weren't out with all our friends and all that. We were inside drawing and making things up. But the nature of this career choice is to have your work evaluated by everyone. So you are an introvert who must be extroverted, who must put yourself out there.
Yeah.
I also have a theory about creative people, and that is that all of them have anxiety and depression problems.
I think we do.
Because I don't think I've met anybody who is creative, especially the amazingly creative people, who doesn't struggle with anxiety. I don't know why those two go together, but they do.
I don't know. I have a friend who wanted to be a cartoonist when we were in college at the same time as me. He was my roommate in college, and he was not the same as me. You know, he wasn't the same as us. He had anxieties and stuff, but we went to Target one time, and I ran to the toy aisle. So I said, all right, I'll meet you back here. And he found me. I lost track of time. He found me in the toy aisle looking at stuff. And he said, this is why you're going to be a success as a cartoonist and I won't be, because you are in the toy aisle. And I said, well, you know, it's because I'm a cartoonist, so I'm looking at the stuff. And he says, well, you use that as an excuse, but the fact of the matter is you want to be in the toy aisle. You're excited about the toy aisle still, that you're not a kid. And that's why your cartoons are going to work and mine won't, because I don't have that in me. I don't want to still go to the toy aisle at college age. I don't care about that stuff. It doesn't excite me, but it still excites you. And so,
hey, Scott, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I just I don't know. I think it's a mindset that allows that creativity to take hold there, as opposed to all creative people end up a certain way. I think it's a certain type of brain set that fosters that creativity.
Was this the same guy that was also the guy in the story you told earlier that you were at a party and he said, you know, oh no, Scott's working on his comic tonight and you're the star?
No, that was my roommate, Mike.
Oh, okay. There's something about the tone in the story you were telling that made me wonder if he wasn't the same guy.
No.
You know what? You're right, though, Scott, in that maybe – I don't know whether or not it's a correlation or causal or what, but cartoonists have the tendency to always be breaking things apart and either looking for the joke or looking for the story in any situation. So maybe in the same way they're always breaking themselves apart and trying to figure out, you know, like how they work, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
How they interact with things. They worry about that, whereas anybody else would be like, no, I went to the party, I had a good time, I came home. I wasn't thinking about writing.
Well, what I'm saying is that I think that could foster not just cartooning, it could foster music, it's going to foster, that kind of mind is going to lend itself to creative endeavors.
I mean any kind of creativity.
But I think that cartoonists specifically, I think that we're all storytellers. Like, I think we're good liars, and I think we're good storytellers, and I think we love making up stories. But it also leaves us susceptible then to anxiety, because at the root of anxiety is the question, what if?
And that's what we do all the
and
time.
And that's all we do is what if. You know, what if this, what if that? And that leads to, did I lock the front door? Did I lock the front door? Did I lock the front door? Who cares? Go to sleep. Because what if tonight's the night that someone comes and breaks in the house and I didn't lock the door? What if, you know, I mean, how many times have you said to yourself, oh, God, this is the part in the movie where someone dies?
Yeah, in your life.
In your life.
I just had a great night. It would be so fitting to find the answering machine message that my brother's dead.
Exactly.
But that's not real, no, but then you think it is, or it could be.
One of the things that happened to us at Mike Ringo's wake was we had the sad part, then we all went to the bar to have the good part, you know, where we all – no sad stories, only fun stories. You know, everybody, let's laugh. We took our time to be sad. Let's laugh a little. And everyone was making up stories about how Mike could possibly walk through the front door. Like, what if he's faking? You know, and we all discovered that we had all had in our heads tried to come up with stories where this wasn't real. And one of the wives commented, well, you guys really do write comics, you know?
Because that would be the twist.
Because, yeah, because that's all you do. But the problem is it's a two-edged sword, and you end up screwing yourself up.
Well, yeah, because you end up doing – I mean, you guys are really inside my head now because you not only do you do that about everybody else, but you do that with yourself too. And then you make it – you do an action that might be perfectly normal, and then you relive that over and over in your head, and you start turning that around, and you start thinking about motivation and consequence and all this other stuff. And it can really – I mean, that's where some of the depression comes down, because not only are you analyzing everything that you're seeing, but you're analyzing yourself to a huge degree. And let's face it, we're all human. We've all got shortcomings. And am I the only one that relives these moments from high school that were incredibly embarrassing?
No, I do it too.
No, right? That's true. I'm carrying around stuff from high school that, you know, the people who were involved don't remember. The only reason why that I mean, if I forgot about it, then the event wouldn't have existed. You know, I'm the only one who keeps it alive.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And I got to tell myself that over and over again, that even if I showed up to my high school reunion, which, God, I there's another one. I can't bring myself to do it other than the fact that it's so far away. But you realize that you're the only one making this thing go on, you know. And I read this one. It was a Rhymes with Orange cartoon that it's a perfectly fine syndicated comic strip, but I have very rarely gleaned wisdom from it. But this was one, and it said, "Do you realize when you do that, it's actually a very happy moment because your brain had to go all the way back to high school to find something to embarrass you with."
to them, I would say, no, I can go any day of the week. I've got a catalog from high school until now.
Yeah, my dad got really excited to call me. He goes, "Have you heard about this Schultz biography?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And he goes, "Well, the family's very upset because the author is painting him as this really broken down, anxiety ridden guy who was troubled." And I'm like, "Yeah, no shit. He was a cartoonist." Of course he was.
Yeah.
He was the cartoonist, so he's got to have the most screwed up head. But, you know, and on top of that, we're almost like we just have broken heads. So much is always going on in my head, and no one else sees it. And I'm sure I look like a loon. Like the other day, we're driving back, and it was me and Angie and Ashley and our nephew Dylan's in the car seat, and someone mentions, "Well, Scott doesn't like the name Dylan." And in my head, not out loud, in my head, I thought, "Well, yeah, because everyone in your family names their kids after something in pulp culture. And I think that's stupid. That's cool for a character, but not a real person. Dylan, yeah, I get it. Bob Dylan, Lola. Oh, we all heard the '80s song, you know." And then I thought, "Oh, I'd like you to meet my new baby, Amadeus." Or, "This is my daughter. She blinded me with science." And I out loud in real life, I go, "But if you were in the car." If you were in the car, this is how that conversation went down. "Yeah, well, Scott doesn't like the name Dylan."
Yeah, but at least you can at least do the laugh. There's something wrong with my head being wired directly to my face, so every thought that I have is played out on my face. I've got Zach poker face, so my wife can always read exactly what I'm thinking because she just looks at my face, and I can't hide any of those feelings, and I have the exact same internal dialogue that you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, and
yeah, I'm not very good at it either.
So here are the pitfalls to answer this person's question. You need to find like-minded people. That's why there's message boards and forums and communities all around webcomics. It's so that we can kind of invent our own water cooler, for lack of a better term. I don't think there even are water coolers in businesses anymore. But, you know, it's so that people that do what we do have some place to talk with other people who get it. But be very careful of it because it can foster negative things. Because be sure that you don't talk yourself off the ledge and right into a position of pomposity. What is the word I'm looking for?
Oh, yeah, where you're
what
like,
if my stuff?
I can't fail.
Yes, or not just that, but well, my stuff is brilliant, and it's the world that's too stupid to understand it.
Yeah.
You know, or, well, why is my comic not taking off? Well, I have the same problem. I work really hard on it. Nobody gets it. No, me neither. No one gets mine either. Well, why is it that they get this? This comic's crap. I know it's so manufactured and phony, and ours is really good, but no one likes it. Well, that's because the artists never get appreciated, but the popular people do. Yeah, their work is crap, and our work is good, and we're the artsy, misunderstood guys, and they're the homogenized. Yes, we are. Don't talk yourself off the ledge into that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I found that, and maybe I'll get in trouble for saying this, but I found that all the artists that I respect and all the cartoonists that I respect and that I think are actually good artists are the ones who would say, oh, I can't talk myself down off the ledge because if I do, then I'll get full of myself and I will think I'm the best. And then that's bad because nobody likes that guy. That guy's a jerk. So I got to stay on the ledge. I've always got to feel bad about my work. That's going to keep me fresh and that's going to keep me humble and decent. So I'm going to feel like what I do is crap. And all the artists that I don't like and I don't respect are the ones who either talk themselves off of it or they came in saying, no, 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 mine's the best. Yours is awful. I am much better than you. It's unshakable. I am not going to analyze my work. I am not going to look at what I do objectively. It's incredible, and you're an idiot if you don't think so. So
are you talking about me?
Yes, Scott. This isn't a podcast. We're not recording.
Oh.
Guys, come out.
Mom, Dad?
Mom, Dad.
Well, there's also,
stop thinking you're awesome.
It's like anything else. To have a friend, you've got to be a friend. And you can't as not sure of yourself as you might feel. You can't be talked out of the ledge every day. Some days you've got to be available to talk someone else off the ledge. You know what I mean?
Sometimes you need to talk to people. You need to talk people right on top of a ledge.
Sometimes you need to push someone off the ledge so that you can use the ledge for yourself.
Hey,
sometimes
Scott,
you have to get people
off. Thanks for talking me off the ledge last night. Well, you seemed really stressed out. Yeah, I was. But no, seriously, though, you were right. You're completely effed. What? Well, you were having a hard time last night, but we need to talk because you might need to walk out to the ledge again just a little bit. I'm not saying it's time to jump, but it might be time to consider what you're going to aim for when you hit.
Or how about this? Sometimes you have to talk people off of your ledge. Hey, Chris, what's the matter? Oh, Scott, I'm really worried. I'm really worried because your comic is awful. It's always bad.
It's always been bad, and no one's got the courage to tell you.
I'm just really scared for you, man. Get off my ledge.
Hello, pigeon.
Speaking of ledges, could you guys talk me off a ledge? Segway.
Well, allegedly, we might be able to.
See you later.
Webcomics Weekly.
So I've been having a problem lately with art versus commerce. The age-old question, what's more important? What came first, the chicken or the egg? The art that makes the money or the money that supports the art?
Commerce more important.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. You heard it here first, guys. Commerce.
Forget the art. If you want the art, go be a fine artist. We're commercial arts. We're design.
So, as you know,
how much you offer me? 25,000 sold. Done.
That's like in that video you made a long time ago, that parody of the Switch ad. Where you go, I would never go back to Windows for any amount of money. Well, maybe $40,000.
You would have to pay $50,000 for me to consider going back. Well, all right, 45, but it's still a lot of money. Now, your problem, Scott.
So my problem is that I recently went through a little crisis of conscience in my own head that nobody saw or experienced but me. And in my head, it was just demons and screaming and skin being flayed off of skulls. But a couple of the people that provide me with advertising solutions made a comment that some of my ads weren't far enough up to the coveted above the fold location on websites. So basically, above the fold's an old newspaper term, eh, Brad?
Yeah, yeah, and in websites, it would mean that for most people's resolution, it would be what appears on the screen without having to scroll down.
But above the fold in newspaper terms means the front page, the newspaper fold in half, what appears above the actual physical fold.
Right, because that's in an honor box or at a display at a newsstand, usually the newspaper's folded in half, so that's usually what people see that makes them decide whether to buy the paper is what appears over the top fold.
Right. I just wanted to point out that it came from a print. The term came from print because I, for the longest time, was trying to fold my monitor, and that got me in a lot of trouble. Anyway, it's just that you have two – we always talk about having two hats you have to wear, that of a businessman and that of a creative art-type person. And you always want the strip to be the star of your website. But you also want to make sure that you can, support your work – with ads and stuff like that. But basically, I widened my site a bit to get more space above the fold. And I got to tell you that the artist inside of me rebelled against it for a week. And I've had to have my more commerce-oriented friends and even some of my more art-oriented friends talk me off the ledge of just clicking the button and switching it back to my old site design because it's been tough.
So what's your question?
My question is, could someone come over and shoot me in the head?
Done and done.
My question is, what is the balance? Like, what should you hold sacred? My friend Gary, who is traveling the world right now. He's a very just a wonderful guy, very interesting and intriguing friend, guy to know. But he always gives me the best advice. And Gary's advice to me, his advice to me, and I wanted to pass this along, was everything below the strip is fair game. Everything above the blog is sacred. But everything below the strip, once the blog starts, it's fair game. You're no longer, you've left art and you've entered commerce and commentary. And
boy, that's pretty good advice as far as I'm concerned.
I think that's a good way to look at it.
That's what really talked me down off the ledge was, as long as you keep everything above the blog clean and sacred, no one has a right to complain. So I wanted you guys to pass that on to you and see what your reaction was to it, because if you didn't have adverse reactions to it, I'd like to immediately adopt that as my philosophy so that it could help me calm the brain demons.
I would even take it one step further. I think the sacred area is the area directly around your comic. I think that should be left for the comic and navigation buttons and special announcements, things of that nature. But the space directly above is classic advertising space, and putting ads in blog is also perfectly reasonable. You know, I know both. I've got to check the Starslip site because I can't pull it up in my memory right away. But I know both my site and the PvP site has ads that come in right as soon as you get to the blog zone.
Yeah, me too.
So I think that it's perfectly fine to have to keep that comic space as sacred. But after that, it's time to present ads there. I mean, that's just the nature of what we do.
I have a question for you guys. Have either of you ever designed, just for fun, a website with no ads on it, just so you could look at it and go, oh, if only?
I'll be honest with you, that's never happened to me. I really don't have a problem with ads.
I design sites with just ads. I don't want to see that content. Get that out of there. I want to generalize this conversation to people maybe listening to this and starting a webcomic, or maybe thinking over their site design and all that. I think that when you're starting out, the money that you make with advertising is really not, it's not going to be substantial at all. So maybe you want to drop an ad on the top there and maybe one next to the blog. But on the whole, when you're beginning and focusing on building your audience and making that connection with the reader, don't worry about even having advertising.
Yeah.
I think you should have space for it on your site and be mindful of where it will go. But when you're beginning, I don't think you need to worry about that. Then later, when you actually have a little pull and advertising makes sense to actually do, now you've got the cachet in the reader's mind that you could put advertising and not have it distract from the content, which is what they're here to see. If you start your webcomic and you've got ads all over the place and there's only three strips, then all I remember is ads, and I'm going to leave.
I'll play devil's advocate to you there on that, Chris.
Okay.
What happens when you've been running your webcomic for a certain amount of time, the readers that you have pulled in are used to a certain thing, and then next Monday, boom, you're throwing ads at them. And they're going to say that the readers that you have made loyal readers at this point says, hey, what's with the ads? This isn't what I signed up for.
You know, I've had that happen sometimes. My response to that has always been, guys, I really appreciate that maybe the ads can be annoying. I'm not asking you to click on anything. I'm not asking you not to use ad blockers. Just know that, you know, the strip is here for you for free, and I've got to find a way to monetize it. So it's either this or it's a big donation bar and a tote bag giveaway donation push 4 times a year.
Yeah, I think that's very reasonable, and I wish it wasn't something where you would have to say, I mean, provided that your advertising is not ridiculously obtrusive, I wish that you didn't have to say, look, I'm doing this for free and I would like to now see something back for it. And the easiest way for me to do that without demanding that you give me money is to put advertising on my site.
Yeah.
And if your advertising is reasonable, then I don't think that it is reasonable for a reader in turn to say, hey, I don't like this. I don't want to see this. I didn't come here for this. Well, you know, I'm sorry, but not running a charity here.
The thing about it is that, especially here in the States, we accept and embrace advertising in everything we do. And I kind of, I don't pay a whole lot of attention to anybody that says, oh my gosh, advertisements above a webcomic, how gauche. Because what's the number two story behind the actual teams that play the Super Bowl? It's the ads that are on the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at what you're probably wearing while you're listening to this podcast right now. I guarantee 80% of you have a logo on your shirt. We've got logos everywhere. We embrace advertising. We revel in advertising. Every magazine we buy has advertising. Every newspaper, and every other website you go to.
And if you don't have T-shirts with logos on them, I am selling them. at pvpstuff.com for reasonable prices.
I actually am not wearing anything with logos on it. I've tried very hard to not wear stuff with logos on it. But I think what Brad is trying to say that everybody listening is a Philistine and a hypocrite, and that you really need to turn that on yourself.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Don't write me in your Nike t-shirt listening to network TV during a commercial break, and you decided this is a good time to write me to tell me about the Goshads on my site. That doesn't float.
Yeah, that's true. You don't write to CBS when ads show
the really,
up. During,
the really sad thing is, or maybe it's a good thing, is that most of the ads I got to fit on this website are for other things I'm doing, like this other comic strip I'm doing, this book I wrote, this thing I'm doing over here, this series we made about. You know, also, it's a comic book. It's like it's just keeping the reader informed about everything that's going on.
Right.
And I've always – the reason why I bring it up is that I have not had so much going on in the past that it was – difficult to balance this out, but it's been difficult to balance this out recently.
Yeah.
But in a way, isn't that a really good problem to have?
I think so.
It is, because then you're keeping people on your side.
Yeah.
You can even start to strike a balance between advertising and content, where the advertising is content, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's a good thing. And not just having an ad for, you know, shoes or whatever for somebody else. At least it's in the family.
That's right.
I like it, gentlemen.
Well, I knew I could count on you guys to remind me that commerce is not bad. Thank you. Thank you.
I think commerce is good.
I think we should all be able to admit that.
Well, yeah.
Nobody likes advertising, but it's a necessary.
Can you guys?
I'm not even going to say it's evil.
I think it'd be funny right now if when Dave is listening to this, like tomorrow, if he's listening, going, "What? No, no!
I've got the best point to make,
and I can't make it."
And so next week's podcast, Dave is on again, and he's trying to shoehorn that into the, like, yeah. Well, going back to the advertising, and we're like, no, we're over that. Anyway,
no, we decided commerce is good. But guys, I want to say, nope, come on, Dave. You're on this thing for your Midwestern accent imitations, and
Oh, gosh. We bring Dave in. We give him the first 10 minutes like they do during the State of the Union address with the Democrats. We just give him the
he gets to come up and
rebuttal. Here's a rebuttal from the loyal opposition.
And then he starts reading from the phone book.
Oh, gosh, Scott, your site's too busy.
Oh, well, gee, now, you know, I just got back from Michigan, so I've kind of got this down pat again. Back into my psyche, you know, and it was really funny because, you know.
Oh, yeah.
All these stories up there start with, well, you remember Bob Wichenmacher. You went to school with his mother. And, and you know. You know who's got cancer now?
Oh my God!
What a great thing to overhear on the bus.
That is such a mom or grandma thing to say. Oh yeah, my God!
You know who's got cancer now?
You know who's got cancer now?
Chef Ramsay's got it. It's a kitchen nightmare, and I'm very concerned. I'm watching.
Well, I say that about wraps it up for this week.
This podcast has been a nightmare. A webcomics weekly nightmare.
We have been webcomics weekly.
Yeah, no kidding. Let's end it now.
Put this thing out of it. We've tried hard to cover for Dave with the Midwest thing, but I think we just need to have him back next week.
I know. And then if he could just be quiet the rest of the time, that'd be great.
Yeah.
So to recap, we're awesome. Our book's awesome. Everybody loves it.
Don't question it.
Make friends. Don't talk yourself too far off the ledge. Keep one foot ready to be at the ledge at a moment's notice. And commerce – works.
Commerce is good.
You know what? If you're going to have a ledge and you're going to be a jerk, at least have that kind of, you know, in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, how he had to walk off that ledge, but it was actually just painted. Have a fake ledge.
Have a leap.
Pretend to have problems. Guys, do I suck? Is my work awful? No, of course not. Yeah, I know.
I just wanted to hear it all out.
That's what
hey, guys,
it's great.
Is my site too busy? No, it's right. Exactly. Good answer. You get to continue to be my friend.
Because you love it.
All right. Webcomics Weekly.
Webcomics Weekly.
Out.
We don't need to give the URLs, do we? Forget
it. No, who cares?
Nah, just cue that guy in the back that plays that guitar so well.
I'm sure he already started 30 seconds ago.
Hey, I got a question, Chris. Technically,
yeah.
Do we have the right? Since that's royalty free, we can say that that's our song and we can use it everywhere, right?
You can, and I've actually gone so far as to hear, like, now that I've played with GarageBand.
You hear that stuff everywhere, don't you?
Yeah, maybe, I was going to say, listen to TV shows and stuff, like not, like kind of low-rent ones, like Divorce Court and stuff like that. But you'll hear in the tags at the end of, you know, like those promotional, like Viacom, that stuff, people use that. They just tuck a little bit in there, and they're like, nobody's going to know.
Divorce Court.
It sounds more like This Old House.
It does.
It sounds like the new Yankee Workshop.
The new Yankee Workshop. Oh my God. I want to punch that guy in the face.
Norm Abrams.
Nam Abrams.
And
it's too bad we didn't know somebody that was really good musically that could write us a theme song.
Oh,
we don't need that, though.
I'm getting a call from my wife.
Who's? Am I getting paid? No?
Conference is good.
Royalty free it is.
Hold on a second. Hey, guys, this is completely falling apart. I'm stopping the recording now. Ready?